you know, we talk about the health of a mother, you know, the pregnancy of someone, mm-hmm. and, you know, staying healthy throughout this pregnancy so that you have a healthy baby. Uh-huh. So I would imagine that, you know, when you're talking about the health of a baby and feeding a baby, that a part of that starts with being in the womb and the things that the mother's doing. And maybe you can talk a little about what that process is like in the womb. And then, you know, as you then, you know, are grooming and growing and, you know, nurturing a baby after it's born.
Right. I was talking with someone about feeding children. What you feed babies is creating cells. So you want to feed them the best that you possibly can. And that's, like you were saying, that's why the mother wants to eat well, because she's forming the cells of the baby. And the integrity of those cells is directed by the foods she eats. Now, I don't want to strike fear in anybody's heart, so I don't want anybody to think, oh my gosh, I had that donut or I had that beer and now I've ruined everything, because that's not true. We're much more adaptable than that. But you do want to have good food. And I find that when a mother and a father, too, when the mother gives birth to the baby, that they're open to exploring the idea of eating well all over again in their life. They're like, wait a minute, I'm responsible for what this child eats, so maybe I need to learn a little bit more. And that's fabulous. And that's why I focused all, when I was in nutrition school, I focused all of my studies and my reports and papers and projects on the maternal and infant nutrition, because I felt so strongly, wow, if we just gave everybody a good start, that'd be so good. And I ended up writing a book called Feeding the Whole Family, which is a cookbook. And the way that the book's organized is that it will give a recipe for something, and at the bottom of the recipe, it will tell you what part of it that you could pull out and just mash up or puree for your baby, so that the baby's eating the same thing as the rest of the family. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that way the baby's getting fresh food. Food in jars is okay, but it's not so fresh. And you don't want to feed your baby anything that you wouldn't eat yourself. And some of those cereals and stuff that are in jars and boxes for babies are not something that I feel like I would want to sit down and eat. And unfortunately, we kind of give away our power. We think, oh, well, the, you know, whatever baby company knows better than I do how to feed your baby. And that's just not true. So they're getting fresh food that way. You know what's in their food when you're feeding them part of what you're eating. But the bigger bonus to me is that you're actually training your baby's taste buds. So there's a lot of literature out now about, don't worry about the foods having some herbs and spices and some flavor, because getting them used to what everybody else eats helps them transition into eating what everybody else eats. Because if you maroon your baby in a high chair and you feed him this bland pablum out of a jar, what you're training that baby to do is to prefer tasteless carbohydrates, and you're training the baby to get a special meal. So what happens then is I go to a preschool lecture and I have parents that raise their hand and their two-year-olds won't eat anything except plain macaroni with nothing on it. And why not? They've been trained to prefer bland, bland food. And they've also been trained that they get something different from the rest of the family, which is ultimately a pretty big disservice.